Hi, this is Salvery Builder, and you're listening to the Mabel Syndrome Podcast.
It sucks, I still think Mabel. Shay's the bomb.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Mabel Syndrome Podcast. Thanks for listening today. We are pretty excited about our guests that we have on later on in the episode. But Kristen and I first wanted to have a little chat and catch up before we introduce our guests. So, hello, my darling.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I called you babe last time we talked, and today now I called you my darling.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the difference between morning and evening, Jess. Like, it's the morning here, so I'm calling you darling.
Right.
But in the evening, I call you babe.
Right. Because when you first wake up with somebody, you're like, hi, darling. Like, yeah. Do you want pancakes? But at night, you're like, babe, do you want this pancake?
I'm going to use that.
That was a bad joke.
That's hilarious. I was going to mention something to you today, too, that's funny is... So I've moved into my new place.
Yeah.
And I've been setting it up and I've been unpacking boxes and like decorating a place that's like actually my own and it feels really good. But I'm trying really hard not to turn my entire house into a face-to-face shrine because I had a really big house before. So I had more areas to cover and now I'm kind of in like this little apartment and I've got like 5 face-to-face skateboards and like 5 different face-to-face posters framed and framed set lists. So... do you think that it's bad to have, like, my whole house decorated in, like, that theme? Mm.
Well, could it just be one room? What about a face-to-face corner or a face-to-face wall?
A wall. Okay.
A wall. Yeah.
Can you imagine somebody walks into my bedroom and then it's just, like, solid face-to-face stuff? Do you think that would be weird?
On the ceiling? That's, like, yeah. That's a little funny. That's, like, what teenagers do. That's what I did as a teenager like, with, like, teeny bop posters.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I'll put, like, all my set lists on my ceiling.
No, but you know what would be cool is in the bathroom across from the toilet, you could have the set lists.
Oh, that's a cool idea. Something
yeah,
to read.
Yeah, for a little reading. Yeah.
Oh, I like that idea. That's a great idea. Okay, cool. Yeah. Thanks. You solved my decorating problem.
Wait, but now we have face-to-face shit in 3 rooms.
Oh, right.
But whatever.
I'm going to think I'm going to hang my skateboards on my biggest wall in my, as like a scent, like a display. Because they're pretty
totally.
Nice. I've had that Big Choice skateboard for years, and it's, like, one of the most sought-after collector's items for face-to-face, and I've never hung it up, so I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah. Now, we can cut this part out of the podcast if you don't want to reveal, but how does one go about getting those things when you go through a divorce? Is there, like, a clause?
Well, he collected certain things, and I collected certain things.
Yeah.
And it was just very... automatic that the face-to-face stuff was mine.
Oh, okay, good.
like had that been things that were trying to be taken away from me,
yeah,
I think the divorce would have been drawn out a lot longer and the lawyers would
right.
have got a lot more money.
Well, that right, like I was wondering if it's like in your contract somewhere, like the face-to-face stuff goes to Jessica
and the no effect stuff goes to him,
right?
That's basically how it worked. Yeah. I'm not even joking. Like, it was a very amicable way that we split things up because I know how he feels about his no effects things and how I feel about my face-to-face things. So that wasn't even an issue because we both just know.
That's perfect. And you both collected shit. So, yeah, I was kind of curious about that.
Yeah.
But that actually segues into our fan question.
Oh, okay. We have a fan question.
We do. And it's kind of a big one.
I don't know what it is. This is a surprise for me.
A surprise to you. So,
okay, wait. So how did this fan, did they like personally send you a message without me knowing?
Yeah. I had asked for fan questions a while ago. And this is actually a friend of ours, but would like to remain anonymous. So I will tell you afterwards.
Okay. It'll be interesting if I can guess.
I know, right? Okay. So I'll get to the question, but the backstory is that this friend of ours, reached out to me to talk about some personal stuff going on. But okay, well, I'll just read the question.
Okay.
I think he's on a little bit of a, this is the angry twist on the question.
Oh, I'm so curious who this is. But, I know, okay. Right?
How the hell do you combine 60 hours of work plus family time and going to concerts, especially when your partner doesn't even care about punk rock?
They said that about me?
No. What?
Oh. Wait. Okay. So when your partner, like, who you're with?
Yes. When your spouse doesn't like punk rock, and maybe doesn't respect it or doesn't appreciate you going to shows when you have little kids and things like that.
Like, right? how do we do it?
It's not about us. It's a talking point.
It's just like an advice column. Like, yes. This person wants to know.
Yes. This person would like us to discuss how one might balance all of that, or maybe how we have balanced that stuff.
This is a great question, and I'm trying, right? I don't know who it is,
right?
I'm trying to like go through my head. I'm like, okay, so I know it's a guy and it's a very thought out question. Should I give that an answer?
I don't know.
Okay,
I have some thoughts, but you're welcome to
Like, dating someone who isn't into punk rock is pretty much most of my life.
Yeah.
Like, I've never really been with someone who loves music or punk rock the same way I do. I've been with people that go along with it and they enjoy parts of it, but not to the extent.
Not even your ex?
He did. And I think he got more into it because we were together for like 11 years.
Yeah.
So he got more into it. And he also was part of like the scene a little bit when, you know, skate punk in the 90s kind of blew up. He was a fan of NoFX and Bad Religion, but I think the biggest thing for me is I don't think I could be with someone who didn't at least respect the love of music that I have. And the balance is hard.
Super hard.
Like, you've got two little kids, and yes. I think your life is a little bit even more than mine in terms of people around you not being into the same music, right?
Right, and I have more opportunity to go to shows.
Yes. So I think this is like definitely something that you have a lot of experience with.
Yeah, and this actually kind of ties into why we started Mabel Syndrome and why I brought it to you in the first place. And that's because, I mean, I used to go to shows all the time when I was in college and in high school and then in my 20s and whatnot. And then I got married to someone who wasn't into music at all, let alone punk rock. Yeah. And then I had difficult pregnancies and babies and all that stuff. And it kind of took a backseat for a while. Like, I would still go to a show if I knew that one of my favorite bands was coming to town. And I wasn't like 9 months pregnant or something. Then I would, you know, I would go to a show. I would still go. But it was probably like twice a year at that point for a while. It really wasn't much. But when you're a woman and you're pregnant, although Shannon just did a Mabel Syndrome table for us at a show, and she's super pregnant.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Fucking cool.
So on that note, I will say that when I was pregnant, so because I've always lived in an area where bands don't tour, like, I'm not, you know, Vancouver was always the main city, but that's still not like always a regular stop for bands. So when a band would come, especially a favorite band, it's a really big deal. And so like I would get to see Face to Face like every couple of years maybe. And I remember when I was pregnant, one of my biggest fears was that Face to Face was going to play a show and I was either going to be too pregnant to go or I was going to have a newborn and I wouldn't be able to go. I was like panic stricken about it.
Yeah.
I used to think about it all the time. They better not announce a show.
right. It's true, because you can't, I mean, you really can't, like, when you're super pregnant or if you have a newborn. So
I probably would have.
Yeah. Yeah. And just stand in the back or something.
I remember I went to a show where Face to Face came when Marlo was like 9 months old.
Yeah.
And I remember going to the show and having a guy comment to me that, what the fuck happened to your boobs? And I was like, I just had a baby.
Because they were so big? Was that his comment?
He said that they had disappeared.
What?
Because I had been like breastfeeding and they were like...
mushy?
Depleted. They were like flat. Yeah. But I've gained so much weight now, they're back, don't worry. But anyway, that was just a thought that popped in my head. But about the balance, yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, that is funny because so I guess my point was that I didn't get to go to shows for a really long time. That was a sacrifice that I made so that I could pop out a couple kids. And then when I started to get ready to kind of get out there again, because when you're a woman too, you do hibernate for a while. Like, unfortunately, it's not what we want to do, but there is a chemical and biological, typical response that you just have to stay home with your baby, and especially if you're nursing or whatever. So anyways, then when I kind of got ready to like get back out there and also kind of rediscover who I was besides just being a mom, I was like, what do I love, like, more than anything else? And what I love is music and this particular type of music. And that's when I was also like, I need to find other women that like this type of music. Yeah. So that's how Mabel Syndrome, you know, all came about. But it's always been a struggle around how many shows can I go to, and not being able to go to some shows that I want to be able to because of a fucking stupid kid's birthday party or a family holiday get together or some, you know, something. I would much rather be at a Bad Religion show than the soccer, you know, banquet or whatever it is. But sometimes you don't have a choice, you know, you have to do it.
And it's also, I think you have to do it in terms of you have to fucking go to a show. You have to, because it's what makes us feel good. So on both sides, you have to like make that commitment or that sacrifice. Like, sorry, no soccer banquet tonight because I need to go to this show because otherwise I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah. Well, and also for me, what's helped is putting it on the calendar as early as possible. So as soon as I find out that a show is coming, I put it on the calendar. I block that day. I get a babysitter. I do whatever I need to do to be able to go to that show. Yeah. And I do pick and choose. I do have to pick and choose. And
it feels like you get to go to everything.
No, I don't.
Can you name a show that you, in the last year, that you wanted to go do super bad, but you missed?
There are two coming up that I'm not going to go to that I really want to. Yeah. Okay. Rebuilder and Dead Bars are playing, and I don't think I'm going to be able to go to that. And Leftover Crack, I want to see, and I don't think I'm going to be able to go to that. There's a ton, Jess, like all the time.
That makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Sorry for your loss.
But I still get to go, I would say twice a month is what is kind of the arrangement that I've made that is a good balance for me.
That's
like
amazing.
every other weekend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I feel lucky that I do. I feel like it's a good balance, but... And I think the other thing is that this person that asked this question lives in California and has shows and festivals and fucking amazing opportunities all the time.
Yeah.
Regularly. And it's really hard to say no. And I've also talked about on the podcast that feeling of sadness when I know one of my favorite bands is playing in Boston and I can't go and I'm home like... making macaroni and cheese or whatever. Like, it's so hard.
I have that all the time.
Right.
That's how I feel all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am. Okay. That being said, I'm dying to see a show. And you had messaged me the other day saying like, where are we going to see each other again and what show? And I'm feeling like it's time.
Good. Start saving your pennies, girl.
Oh, well, that's
the thing.
That's a couple weeks out. Hopefully.
Yeah. But any other advice for, any other advice for this person? I mean, okay, so since this is a man with a wife with kids.
Yeah.
I mean, so the other part, I hope we've made it clear too, you know, of course, punk rock is important. You have to go to shows. That's not a thing. But there is a chunk of time when your kids are little mm-hmm. and women lose their mind a little bit. It's
true.
It's hard. Our hormones are fucking crazy.
The devil. Yeah.
And it's a weird time for relationships, I think. And it's this constant. And to be honest, I feel like you have one or two choices. Either you kind of stick with your partner and your family and you're like, I'm going to ignore my passions and hobbies for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't right. Or you divide and conquer with your spouse. So you're like, all right, you have the kids tonight and I'm going to go to the show and then I'll have the kids tomorrow night and you go to your book club or whatever it is. But that's also hard on the marriage. So there's no right answer.
There isn't. It's whatever works for your family is the right answer. And it's just about saying yes at the right time and saying no at the right time and hoping that you don't fuck up. There's my
trying
advice.
To empathize with your spouse and your partner but also advocate for yourself.
Yes. So good luck with that. It's hard. We get it. We feel you. Bottom line, just try not to fuck it up.
Right.
I thought of something because, you know, at the beginning of the episode, me and you go over those things. Like, what are we going to talk about today? Should we discuss the news with Less Than Jake?
Oh,
did you see this? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Of course I do.
With Vinny making the announcement that he's not going to tour with the band anymore.
Yeah, that's huge. And we have a lot of big Less Than Jake fans that listen to the podcast. So we might as well. Yeah.
When the announcement was made yesterday, and I love Less Than Jake. I've been a fan forever. And but there, again, back to Face to Face. Sorry. But the only thing that I could do yesterday was think about Face to Face and a band member leaving and how that would make me feel. Because, you know, we've got a couple girls specifically who are our co-Mables, and they are such diehard Less Than Jake fans, and I felt mm-hmm. so sad for them yesterday.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I felt really sad for them yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So, I get it. Like, the announcement says, you know, prior, just going back to what our fan question was, right? Like,
totally. Yeah,
that ties in. Like, how do you balance? And it sounds like he's had to make a choice to balance, right?
Yeah. Well, Less Than Jake's been a touring band for a long time. Like, you know, just from talking to those guys personally as friends, like, they love touring and they know that music doesn't fucking sell anymore. And if you want to make money as a musician, you have to tour.
Yeah.
And you have to tour your ass off. And I don't know. I've always asked them how they do it. Like, how do you do that with little kids?
Yeah.
And I think Vinny's message, I'm not privy to any inside scoop at all about this. This was a surprise to me as well. But I think his message is, look, it's fucking hard. And I don't think he said, he definitely did not say I'm out of the band. He said, I will not be touring with the band for a while.
Yeah.
And I do know that they got Matt Yonker, who's been I don't know if he's been a guitar tech, tour manager. He's been with the band a long time, but he's going to be taking over drumming on the road. So they have an inside basically he's been a member of the band anyways.
Yeah. A family.
Yeah. But I think Vinny's message is like, sometimes you can't. Sometimes you can't do it all.
Sometimes you can't do it all.
And that's harder. That's a much harder thing to do. To say no is way harder than saying yes.
And figuring it out. Totally agree. Totally agree. I feel real sad for our Less Than Jake co-Mabel fans because you know the two girls I'm talking about.
Laura Isabel, of course.
Yeah.
And Melinda too.
Yeah. And that's a heartbreaking thing. And they both reposted about it, and they both said their own heartfelt feelings about it. And bands that you love, music that means so much to you, when stuff like this happens, it's an impact.
Well, the other thing is that everyone who knows Less Than Jake knows that Less Than Jake is Vinny's band.
Yeah.
So Vinny, my understanding is that Vinny and Chris went to high school together, and when Chris went off to college in Gainesville, Vinny went with him, and they were like, "We're gonna start a band, dude. Like we're gonna." They had a band in high school, but they were like, "Let's actually do this."
Yeah.
So it's been Vinny's band from day one, and he's a quieter guy. He's kind of behind the scenes. He's a little bit more introverted, but mm-hmm. he's the one that does all their social media. He's the one that from day one basically formed the band. He came up with the name. He pretty much manages everything. Like, so people who know that band know, and he writes all the lyrics for the song. Well, yeah, at least 90%.
It's sad. I get it. I support it.
So when you're leader, so it's not only someone in the band leaving, it's kind of your leader too.
Yeah.
I'm happy that the band is continuing on. I'm sure there was some sort of discussion, you know.
And it doesn't say that he won't be recording with them or anything. It just says he's not touring. So.
Right.
By the way, I love how you say the word touring.
Touring?
Touring?
What did I said? Touring?
You say it in a very American way.
I do.
Like, I say touring.
Oh, yeah. I don't use the U, just like touring, like tore his pants or something.
Yeah, like, or toe ring. Like, I have a toe ring. You say touring. should we introduce our interview?
Yeah. Were we going to do Siri?
Oh, yeah. So, I haven't thought of anything. Have you?
No.
Okay. So, for our, like, four regular listeners out there, the last two episodes that we've released, we have been doing the new segment where we ask Siri or Google the random questions we don't know the answer to, and then we've been playing them. And it's been quite humorous, and people seem to really like it, so we're going to make it a regular segment. But we can't figure out what to name it. We need a name for the... that we talk to Google or we talk to Siri segment to learn some awful fact about life. So if anybody's listening out there and has an idea, please reach out to us and tell us what we should name that segment, because we don't know.
Right.
And we're not going to do it today because we didn't think of anything.
Well, I'm really trying to think of something related to what we talked about.
Right.
That we can ask Siri.
Something
about having a baby.
Oh, we could do that.
Just to really gross everyone out.
Oh. Let's ask Siri what she thinks about that. Does Siri give advice?
Oh, I'll ask
Siri,
her.
How do you balance work and...
Hey, Siri. Do you give advice?
I don't have an answer for that.
What?
Bitch.
Lame. Siri, how many times a month is appropriate to go to a concert?
Bitch, wake up.
Here's what I found on the web for how many times a month is appropriate to go to a concert.
What'd she come up with? Is there an answer?
Well, she just gave me some websites. No.
No. Okay. I'm going to start, like, making a list of inappropriate things I don't know the answer to.
Oh, man.
There are quite a few shows. Do you know that... the bomb, not bomb, yeah, bomb pops are gonna be in Vancouver, like, or they just were. Fuck, never mind. Useless story.
We should talk about what happened with Polly. Did you hear about that?
What?
Well, so Polly has type 1 diabetes.
Yes.
And, when Polly from the bomb pops. So when they came to Boston, whenever that was last year, and I brought my son to the show and she had Adler and we all went out to dinner, and she and I talked about it then because she obviously gave herself a shot when we were having dinner. And so, and I actually dated somebody in college who had type 1 diabetes. So I had to learn a lot about it then.
Mm-hmm. My best friend is diabetic, and so is my dad.
Oh, okay. And they do shots every day and test their blood all the time. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, it's an intense thing. Well, I guess she had her first seizure from it, and it kind of snuck up on her before a show. Maybe they're on tour. And so I think Chris from Strung Out maybe is helping them out.
He's filling in for the rest of the tour.
Yeah.
Which is very cool.
Very cool. So she's at
home kind of recuperating from it. And we wish her the best.
I know. But I hope, you know, if anything good can come out of it, I guess some dialogue or understanding about type 1 diabetes. And
well, she is a member of an organization called, I think it's called Just My Type. I could be wrong.
Oh.
Where she is like a spokesperson for type 1 diabetes. And there's all different people that they sort of profile in all different walks of life, like athletes, musicians, moms, like, and it's basically starting dialogue and awareness and just information. And she posted about it. She's been on their website and stuff. So
So I guess maybe in the link for this episode we'll post some a link or, you know, some info about that or whatever. But all right, so let's go to
before we introduce the guest, even though that was a great segue. Do you know that when you said 3 minutes ago, should we talk about Polly, that I thought you were I was like, Polly Shore, like the actor Polly Shore.
Why would we talk about Polly Shore?
I don't know. I was confused. So, yes, segue. Let's talk about our guest.
So, our guest for the second half of the podcast is Jason York, who started the Punk Rock Food Drive. They're having their 10-year anniversary coming up on Saturday, November 10th in Oceanside, California. I didn't catch where Oceanside, California is. Did you?
Is it by the ocean?
I would assume so.
All right, so I'm going to go with that. It's in Oceanside, California, which is
by the ocean. Yep. At Midnight Jack Brewing Company. So if anyone, you know, can go to the show. So anyways, we're going to talk about lots of details about the show with Jason. So please stick around for the second half of this episode.
Yeah, we... without going into too much information, listen to the interview, but we're going to be posting all about Punk Rock Food Drive a little bit more on all of our social media. Google it, Punk Rock Food Drive. They have a website. They have tons of information, and you'll hear about it in the interview, but it's an amazing, amazing cause and organization, and we really want to support it. So
even
if you don't stick around for the second half of this,
yeah,
go to the website, support these guys, learn about it, because it's fucking
totally give awesome. Them a couple dollars, like, yeah, you know. So stay tuned for that episode right now. And I've been dreaming again about everything that's in my past. So our guest for the second half of the Mabel Syndrome podcast is Jason York, the founder of Punk Rock Food Drive. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, I saw, was it Soma or Bad Cop or somebody posted about it? And I was, Soma introduced us, right? Didn't she do a group chat sort of thing?
Yeah. Yeah. She reached out through Instagram saying, do you guys know each other? Okay, now you do.
Totally.
Do what you want with
Soma's
it.
Soma's amazing for connecting us with the coolest people.
Yeah. It's really, we've noticed that too. We just met her in May, but she really is good at kind of saying, what are you great at? What are you great at? And now mix it together and make the most of it. You know,
totally.
That's exactly what she does.
How did you meet her in May?
We were at Punk Rock Bowling and she had a booth there, and I just walked into it and said, hey, what do you do here? Mm-hmm. And she told me about Sidewalk Project that she's working on up in LA, where they're doing art installations and playing music with the houseless community there and just kind of using it to connect people. And I said, that sounds really cool. I do this thing called Punk Rock Food Drive out of San Diego. And she said, I've heard of that. And my partner, Emily, who's a partner in Sidewalk Project, and she runs Punk Rock and Paintbrushes. And they just had, and they had like that art exhibit at Punk Rock Bowling. She said, you got to come meet Emily since you're down in San Diego, and just took us over and we met her. And then slowly but surely, I think in in September, they had a sidewalk project in LA. And so I went up because I wanted to see how they do it, you know? Mm-hmm. And like someone was there for the first little bit of it, but she had to go somewhere and she introduced me to Stacy. I'd never met Stacy before. And that's how I met Stacy from Bad Cop. That's how we all met. So from May to September to now, I mean, right in June, after we had a punk rock food drive in June, and I told someone, hey, we're doing a food drive if you want to come see what it's like. And so she set up a booth there and got to see how we run them, and she seemed to be impressed with how we do it and what we've built over the years. And so that's how she got to know that it was a real thing worth being involved in. And so I just kind of kept inviting her back. And so what we're doing this time is we're kind of combining the events in a sense where our event's happening Saturday, November 10th, and then they're going to do a sidewalk project down in San Diego on the 11th. So it kind of allows them to, the events to kind of boost each other, you know?
Oh, that's awesome. It's so cool that like so many people in the scene are doing awesome things around art and community service and just spreading awareness of different things. That's so cool.
For sure. Yeah. It's cool to like, it's kind of growing regionally. I mean, we've always kind of been here in like a northern part of San Diego, and we've just been doing our thing here for a while and looking to meet people who are interested in helping. And things are kind of starting to reach this point where we're meeting so many people in a more diverse geographic area, and it kind of starts to get the wheels turning on like what else could we do kind of thing.
Totally. Yeah. So why did you start it?
So we started just a long time ago, my brother Chris and I. So Chris Mazzola and me are the basic founders, and we've been running the food drive for 10 years. He's my brother-in-law, and we were in a band, and in that band we just decided to do it, like, let's just do a food drive. And it was just such a small deal, you know, it's just like one food bin that barely got full. And but it was like the idea of it seemed cool. And then we kind of just did another one and said, well, how can we make this bigger? And we just started introducing like raffles and auctions, and just, we started focusing on raising food and money. Mm-hmm. And the money part starts to make a real big difference on like the amount of aid you can provide to a food bank. So once we introduced that auction raffle piece, it kind of changed a lot of stuff. And then now it's from that time, it was so small, and now it used to be just a show, you know, you'd focus on basically pumping up a show, and now it's like a campaign. It's like a month-long effort kind of thing where I've got different companies who have food bins that they're making it a part of their kind of company culture, where they might have these ways like give back competitions where they'll just put departments against each other to try to raise the most food, and then they'll just donate that on behalf of Punk Rock Food Drive to the food bank. And then I just dropped some bins off at a school yesterday. Just different things I'm doing to try and raise more food. So that, I mean, I've like the flyer like that you guys shared, that's just a flyer I make for people's work, where it kind of talks a little bit about, you know, here's our event, but if you can't go, just put food in this bin. You slap it on a bin, and we've got people at different companies raising food, and then they'll come to the show and just bring, you know, instead of we're asking for 3 cans of food, they're going to show up with, you know, they're going to fill half a trash can or something, or half a donation bin or something. So it's really just all these little weird tweaks to try and increase the amount of aid we could get.
That's super cool. And it sounds like at first you just kind of, you would pick a show and then have your food drive at that show. And now after 10 years, you're doing your own show. You're doing with a lot of bands. You're almost putting on a festival, so, you know, in a way.
Right.
So has that been a learning process for you? Like,
At this point, it's not too difficult. So like I've been playing in bands for 20 years or something. So I'm used to the idea of like, hey, we want to throw a show. And then a lot of times you just kind of get a date and you kind of build the band around it and do what you can to make the most successful thing. You know, there's all these weird little formulas and superstitions involved in how to make a show the most successful show. So
Wait, what superstitions?
I know. I was just gonna say. Like, I was totally following along.
It's more local based. Like every little scene has their own little things. Like, if you get this band, it will be successful because X or whatnot. And just it's not like I can't like like read a specific bullet point and tell you it's because it's a superstition and it doesn't make any sense. It's just basically after arguing with my brother Chris for 10 years on how to make things more successful or less successful, I realized that a lot of stuff that we've stressed about in the past doesn't mean shit. And that is what I would call superstition. And now we just kind of go on the, let's find out, let's do this and find out. So that we're trying to learn for every subsequent food drive. So sometimes in the past we might have held back from making certain decisions and then we decide, you know what, who cares? Let's find out.
That almost sounds more like overthinking it as opposed,
Well, yeah, but if you overthink it 10 times for no reason, then it becomes a superstition kind of thing.
That's true.
It's not like a real superstition. Like, we don't book any bands with R's in their name.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
And so, you guys are obviously doing a huge push right now because of like Thanksgiving, Christmas. But is this something that you guys do all year round, no matter what?
So what our goal is, and we've been sticking to it for kind of the last 4 years. There's only been a couple years that we haven't. Is that we try to do 2 a year. So
okay.
Holidays are always a huge time. People pump up the gratitude and the giving in the holidays, and we always try to do a spring or summer show because the food banks get really low on food during those times. I mean, like, I think in the middle of the year, like spring or May, there's like a postal service. They do a huge drive. There's always some things where grocery stores are doing food drives. You could buy a bag and fill it with food and stuff. But, I mean, just in general, we like to do something in the middle of the year just to give an extra push. I mean, we've done food drives where we get our, you know, we do our food drive on a weekend. It gets picked up on Monday, and we go in on Wednesday or something to drop off our money. And we go, do you mind if we take a picture with the barrels of food we raised? And they go, what food? It's already gone, you know? Wow. So, I mean, the people, like this area, they go through food really fast. The food bank that we work with kind of serves as like a, it's almost like a grocery store hub for about 100 other nonprofits. So we'll get the food to them, and then all these nonprofits around the area will go there and kind of shop for their, you know, whether it's a, like a home for mentally challenged people. It could be like a recovery place. It could be just a church or whatever it is. They've got agreements with the food bank to use that as like a storefront for whatever their needs are.
And then the other thing I was going to say, because I used to, in one of my old jobs, my office was in the same building that that our local food bank was in. And I remember talking to the guy who ran it and like learning a lot about what needed to be donated. And there's a lot of things that people don't realize need to be donated. So do you guys also accept things like toiletries and like toilet paper and all those other kinds of things? Because I know that our food bank often had a list of those types of things that people never think about donating.
Yeah, we don't currently anymore. When we first started, we did. The food bank we used used to be owned by a different company, and then it's been acquired by a larger food bank from San Diego, and they focus more on the food now. With the team up with Sidewalk this time, we're trying to push our event as a place where you could bring those items because they're going to need them down at their Sidewalk Project event on the 11th. So it's something like if we receive them, we know people who could use them now and ways to get them, especially this particular event, because there will be people from Sidewalk Project there, and we could just, you know, make a little hub in one of our vendor tents and say, bring all the toiletries here, and then we'll make sure they have them for the next day.
Amazing.
Yeah, people don't typically bring that stuff because we don't ask for it anymore, mostly because of the food bank that we're teamed up with doesn't distribute those items. So
cool. So tell us about this event on November 10th, right? And is it November 10th?
Yeah, Saturday, November
10th. Yeah, the bands
basically
that are going to be there.
Yeah, I should have had a flyer, but I've said it so many times that I should have it off the top of my head. So basically, oh, cool. So we've got 8 bands, Stacy D and Biebs. They're going to be doing an acoustic project. They're going to open that up. And then Blind Mountain Holler, Nitrous M1, Parade of Horribles, Corporate Citizen, War Fever, and The Last Gang. Did I miss any?
Western Settings.
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, I did miss them.
We love that.
Yeah, and then The Last Gang.
Western Settings is like one of my all-time faves.
Yeah, it's good to have them back. They played the 6th annual Thanksgiving food drive, and then so they're coming back. So basically, like, the way we book, this kind of goes back to something you had asked earlier, Kristen, just about like building the shows, is like I mean, it's a local endeavor for the most part. Like, it's, we work kind of in San Diego and North San Diego and work with the bands that we have there. And we're trying to do a mix of genres somewhat. Like, sometimes we emphasize more on the rock than the punk part. So, like, the first part of this show, like the first four bands kind of thing, is like a little more rock. It's got acoustic, some like folk Americana feel. And then I think Parade of Horribles, my band, it kind of twists it. We do so many different weird genres. We kind of serve as like this halfway cutoff point to welcome all the rest of the bands, which is kind of a punk show at this particular event. But it varies. Like, we've done shows that have, you know, Irish folk bands and just all kinds of just different things to kind of get a different flair, just a different feel. So you're not watching, like, you know, 7 hours of skate punk bands that are all kind of playing the same thing. We try to vary it up a little bit and then throw in like ideas like who could bring people. You know, we're trying to vary it throughout the county. So we get like some of the northern part here. We're like 40 minutes from San Diego, and then some of greater San Diego. So we can try and make it something that will get people out from different regions. Yeah. And so now we've got, you know, I mean, last gang is kind of Orange County, LA, and then Stacey D's, more LA. Nitrous in One is actually a band from San Francisco that we've known for a long time. So when we go up there and tour, we're kind of returning years of favor mill of them saving us money by letting us sleep in their house instead of having to pay for a hotel room in San Francisco. So
yeah,
we're glad that they're able, their tour kind of coincided with our event, and they were like, will you help us book a show? I said, why don't you just play this one, you know? So that's cool. And then in terms of like, I mean, you had mentioned like, is it difficult to put this show together? Like, our second year Food Jive was a 10 band show. And that was like the stupidest thing we'd ever done. And then after doing it, we were like, we could do anything, you know? So 8 isn't too bad. Like, we did 8, back in June at this new venue in Oceanside. It's this brewery that we're using called Midnight Jack Brewing. And, they've got like a 15-foot stage. Like, they're just huge. So as far as breweries in this area, they're like, they're fit for like professional sound and ready to do a show like this. And they kind of go out of their way to pull permits and let us drink outside so we could have vendor tents and people are drinking and the food trucks. And it's just like, the setup is so ideal for what we're doing, that we definitely, like, right after the last one, you know, they were already talking to me about, will you do the 10th annual one here? I said, ask me the day after this food drive.
Yeah.
And then after that, we kind of already knew, like, it worked out so perfectly that we're going to do it there again.
So now does that I assume it's like a restaurant, a brew company sort of deal, or bar?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a brewery. So yeah. Like, down here, there's so many breweries that are just in industrial parks. It's just every 6 months or so, there's 5 more.
Yeah.
And,
so now do they do it for free because it's a community service based thing?
So the breweries open all day to serve beer anyway. And this particular brewery, because of their stage, they're slowly kind of almost turning into a venue because so many people are using it for that purpose. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to pay them anything to use the space. And it's really up to me when I make the show, when Chris and I decide on the food drive. I mean, the biggest thing for Punk Rock Food Drive for us is that it is a free show. It's a free show where we're asking people to bring food or a $5 donation. Okay. If for some reason they come in and they don't have either of those things, we have other ways for them to help. We have raffles, we have auctions, we have merchandise. They can buy shirts or hats and stuff like that. Midnight Jack Brewing is cool, where they've been, the last food drive we did, they donated 10% of all sales for the day. So they'll do that this time as well. Yeah. So, I mean, we're not paying them. They don't decide if there's a cover, and we kind of work it out ourselves. And then, but they're also donating some of their profits towards the food drive. So
that's just super cool of them. I mean, I just wanted to plug that because that's super cool of them to do that, you know, for you guys. And I hope people can go down to the actual event. I mean, you do provide a link. So it's active.com/donate/punkrockfood, so people can go on there and make a donation of whatever amount. But for any of our listeners and followers that live near Oceanside, California, you should definitely get down there on November 10th from 1 p.m. to close.
Yeah, 1 p.m., doors open, music starts at 2, and then they close at 11. So, I mean, we typically wrap up music by 10, so last game's going to go on around 9.
Sweet. And there's prizes, so yeah, and there's food trucks, and there's, like, mm-hmm. that just sounds awesome.
I don't understand why people wouldn't go. I know. This is just, like, this is pretty much
I think a lot of
a dream
it's just letting them... It's just letting them know. So I really appreciate you helping get the word out. Cause I mean, we've been there for 10 years, looking around going, this is awesome. Let's just keep doing it, you know? So we're already sold. But we definitely appreciate, getting the word out to get more people there.
Yeah.
And we're definitely going to keep reposting about it and putting it all over our social media and letting people know, because I think this is just such an incredible idea. It makes me want to do it where I live.
Cool. Yeah, and it is an all ages event. So, I mean, that's the one of the great things. Like, there's so many breweries here. We started doing food drives at breweries a couple years ago. We used a different one nearby for a while. We were kind of just setting up on the floor. And one of the first things that we noticed right away is that, hey, we're seeing people we haven't seen in years, because we've been doing these at 21 and up locations. And suddenly people are bringing their kids, they're bringing their dogs. It's just a wide open event. So, ever since that, we're kind of set on, you know, brewery or not, we're sticking with all ages format because it's become so vital to what we're doing. And if you look at punkrockfood.com, there's a history link in each of those. I haven't really populated every single show yet, but if you look at the summer 2018, all of our pictures are up from the event. And you could go through those pictures and see, like, the kids, like, took over the event by the end of it. It was pretty cool. Like, there's just kids on shoulders going crazy. I've got my friend playing in a band with his daughter, singing up on stage, and just little kids all over the place. And not to pump that in a way that says, like, come out to Punk Rock Food Drive and get your ankles bitten. But it's an open event. So, like, if you're held back from going to a show because you don't have a babysitter, like, there's tons of stuff to do. And you can come out and we'll kind of be your babysitter. I mean, we've got people, my Chris's daughter's friend, she does a ton of artwork. So she's like 16 or 17, and she'll do face painting and fake tattoos on kids. Aww. And donate some of her money towards the food drive. So there's all kinds of vendor tents and stuff to do. So
that is, and that, so cool. That's like bringing your kids is like making it an all ages show is super cool for a couple of reasons. Not only are you getting to expose kids to wicked music at a young age, which I think is one of the best things people can do, but also like it's teaching a young kid about helping out and giving back and community service, right? So I think that's just a general amazing all around idea. So I love that all ages concept.
Absolutely. It's really cool. You see like kids trying to throw these pieces of, you know, these bags of food and bins that are taller than they are.
Aww.
And I've had people email me saying, you know, my son won a skateboard at the food drive last year and he just did his first ollie on it. so just cool stuff like that, you know.
That's really cool. Yeah. I love that.
That's super cool. Well, we won't take too much more of your time, but I'm also just a little bit curious about your band. So your band is Parade of Horribles, and you do it with your brother-in-law.
Yeah, so a long time ago, like the band that started Punk Rock Food Drive, it kind of fell apart, and we lost. We were a 4-piece band. We lost a guitar player, and then shortly after that, we lost our singer guitar player. And then I just think it's because I'm hard to work with. But I told Chris, I said, let's just keep going. And so now we're just a bass and drum band. So I sing and play bass, and he plays drums. And then we just like. Because it was just me writing all the music, I have the ability to write pretty much anything I want, which is good and dangerous, I guess. So like, especially towards the beginning of the project, like the songs are a little schizophrenic where it's like punk and then it's samba and then it's funk. Like it's a real clash of genres. So lately things are a little more linear, but still it's just two people making a lot of noise and, I call it like a punk version of Primus sometimes. And
oh,
it's just,
yes.
It's like just a lot of just different bass techniques, and then I'm screaming essentially.
I love two-piece bands. Two-piece bands are amazing. I don't know how
I love it too. It's so simple. I love it from mostly just an administrative standpoint. It's like if someone asks you if you want to play a show, you say, let me make one phone call and I'll get back to you. And like we book with so many bands who have more people, and it's like it's just insane how how hindering people's schedules are when you have so many people, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, we only have two people and it's nearly impossible. So
yeah,
we only have two people. So we get that. So I think that's a really cool way to look at it. I've never thought about that with a 2-piece band. Easy it must be to go like, hey, mm-hmm. are you available on Wednesday? Yep. Cool. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like two people, two work schedules. And then, like I said, he's married to my sister. Our kids are cousins. Like everything's super. It's just like it's just a musical side project for our family, essentially. You know, it's just awesome. Something we're doing all the time anyway.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, thank you for taking this time with us.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. This is I didn't talk that much about the show and the bands. I kind of get sidetracked talking about history a lot, but this event is kind of like our first, it's kind of like our first foray into trying to get some bigger national acts. I mean, Last Gang is a Fat Records band, and they're kind of traveling all over. Just got done touring with Swingin' Utters. Stacey D and Bad Cop, I mean, we would have loved to have Bad Cop play. I understand some of the people are going to be out of town and stuff, so they can't make it. But it was really cool of her to agree to do an acoustic set and come out and play. We're at this point of growth where, like, locally we know how to do a really great service to this community. And we know so many people who are just connected to other people who book big shows, know big bands, and we're kind of at this point where we're trying to decide what does that look like for our future? How can we take advantage of that and then try to still raise as much money and food as possible? So it's really exciting to see like what that could turn into or where it could go in the next couple of years.
The idea of Stacey doing the acoustic thing too, because that might be easier for people if they're gonna take, you know, a day to go and help out with the food drive. Like, there's a lot of bands or a lot of artists within a band that have side projects that do acoustic stuff or, you know, do solo mm-hmm. stuff, and so that's a good way. And I think it's really cool too, we've had three of the bands that are on your bill on our podcast.
Awesome. Yeah. See, it's all connected already.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So that's cool.
If I could go see Stacey D do an acoustic set for free or for a bag of food or for $5, like, are you kidding me? that's amazing. So
yeah, it's super a screaming cool deal.
Yeah.
We always get someone on our podcast to our guest to pick the song that we play at the end. So you've got a lot of bands to promote, including your own. So if you were going to pick the song to close this episode with, what song would it be?
Well, you should play a Last Gang song, and it's going to be either Strange Fruit or Believe in the Poet. That one's really good.
Awesome.
That's what we'll do.
Awesome. Great choice.
Cool. Thanks, Jason.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. So our guest for the second half of the podcast is Jason York, the founder of Punk Rock Food Drive. Hey, thanks for joining us. It cut out.
Oh my god.
Oh, you've got to be
Mabel Syndrome outtakes. Fuck.